Okay, today is May 24th, 2005. I'm interviewing Leon and Mary Perot, in their home in Imbler, Oregon. Scoot over a little bit here. All right, Mary, can I ask you to give your full name?
Mary Adele Perot. Mary Adele Rollins Perot.
All right, and can I have you give your full name, Leon?
Leon Andrew Perot.
All right, and I'm going to ask you, Mary, where were you born and when were you born? Do you remember?
I was born in LeGrand in 1931.
All right, and Leon?
I was born in LeGrand in 1927.
All right, and Mary, can we let me talk to you about your parents, what their names were, and when they came to LeGrand?
My parents were Albert and Ruth Rollins. They were born and raised right in this area.
Uh-huh. And you said that they had a store?
Yeah, we had the store in Sarasota for several years, up until 1948.
Did your parents come here from somewhere else? Did they, or they
were born and raised here?
Uh-huh. And what was the name of that store?
Sarasota Grocery. Mm-hmm.
So when you were born, they were running the grocery?
No, we started. It must start in 36. I was about 5 years old when I came to the store.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that store?
The thing I remember most is when we went to school, every time they wanted volunteers for free stuff for the kids, my brother and I volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think about it costing my dad anything. You know, mm-hmm. We just went in the store and got what we wanted.
What did they have in the store? What kinds of things did they sell?
No groceries, canned stuff, meat, cheese.
Mm-hmm. Where did they get the produce from that they sold in the store?
What's the name? Well, it's one that was in LeGrand, back there on the back street. I can't remember the name of it. You remember the name of it? Bob Howard? Somebody had it one time.
No, I don't remember.
So you bought your produce in LeGrand?
We bought all our stuff in LeGrand. Most of them, my dad hauled out. He had a pickup. He went to LeGrand about once a week.
Was it local produce that you bought, or did you?
Well, it was just whatever we could get.
Mm-hmm. What else do you remember about being in the store or them running
the
store?
I can imagine. I can remember selling stuff for a lot cheaper than we're paying for it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So who worked in the store?
My dad, mother, brother, and I.
And what was your job in the store?
Taking care of customers.
Did you work the cash registers, or did you bag groceries? Or?
Yeah, a lot of times I was in there by myself, so I had to do everything.
You were pretty young when you were doing that, huh?
Oh, yeah, before I was 12 years old.
Wow. Uh-huh. So what would a day start like for your parents?
Well, my mother was the postmistress in Sourville, and then she was the rural mail carrier. So it started pretty early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So she would work at the store after her post office duties? What were her duties in the post office?
Distribute mail, and what most postmistresses do.
Mm-hmm. And how was she, what kind of vehicle would she deliver the mail?
Whatever was handy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your father would go get the groceries early in the morning?
Oh, he'd make a trip about once a week. We sold beer and stuff like that, so it all had to be trucked in.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'd rather help him unload groceries than housekeeping, so that's what I did.
Oh. Uh-huh. And so what kinds of cash registers, and was it a an older style cash register? Were you, what kind of equipment were you using in the store?
Till. Mm-hmm. Just a thing on the counter that pulls out and there with the money.
Did you have a bank? Is there a bank that you took a piece of money to?
Banks. We've done our banking on the ground. Banks. Well, one time there was a bank here in Kemper, but it went out one year.
I can't tell you that. Before my time.
Before your time?
The bank went out before my time.
Oh, well, I know it went out before my time, but I didn't know.
What kinds of foods were real popular items for people to buy at the store? What did you sell out of?
Wieners.
Cheese.
Wieners and cheese. Of course, that was before we had a lot of this fast food. People had to buy their own and cook it. But and they'd come in. Oh, like Mr. Starr, he lived up, but he, and when he'd go to town to trade, he'd always stop at our store and see what we had, and then what we didn't have, he got in the ground. And that's how we got, along with the farmers, was they'd come to us first, and then they'd go on and do their shopping.
Because they wanted to support the local,
right,
stores. Okay, Leon, I'm going to ask you about your family, your parents, and were they raised here?
My mother was born and raised here. Her dad was Sam Ruttman. Sam Ruttman, and he was, they had a ranch in Aliceville, east of Aliceville. My dad was born in Switzerland. My mother met him in Idaho when she was working in a hospital over there after she had taken some training to work in a hospital. Then they come back here, and I was born here then, after they were married.
So where your mother was born in Impler? Or?
She was born on the farm or on the near
in
the
Alice,
farm.
In Alice.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether she was born on their farm or somebody else's farm, but they were.
Did she ever tell you anything about what it was like to be a young girl on a farm in Aliceville?
Well, her mother died when she was really young, so she lived a lot with her aunt in Friday in Aliceville. When she went to school, she rode a train from Aliceville to Impler.
Really?
Rode the train back at night.
What train was that?
It's the same train that runs on the track now.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know that she'd done that all the time, but pretty regular. Mm-hmm. She lived with the Clarks. So.
Who were the Clarks?
And she all. Bruce Clark. They lived right in Aliceville. You know, the farm there.
Wasn't Bruce some relation to your mother?
Yes.
His uncle.
That's what she was the uncle. Mm-hmm. And she'd ride the train back and forth to school. What was that school that she... The same school that's here?
She went to school for a short time at the little school that's here on the south side of Ember, down here on the highway.
Oh, what's the name of that school?
It's the Ember School. I don't know what they
had. Was that a one-room schoolhouse?
I think it's a two-room, but I've been in it, but it's been years ago. Old grain, put in grain.
That big one kept restored. It's still there.
And they kept it up. Oh, so it's an historical monument.
That was probably grade school. Because she went to grade school most of the years in high school, in
got married, and where did they live after they got married?
They lived here in Ember. I guess about three different places here in Ember. Not very long, the first two places, and then they lived in my great grandmother's house,
which is
just about a block from here where we live now. Hmm. It's just across the alley.
When would that have been, in the 20s?
That would have been in late 20s, in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Clear up until we sold the place, and after mother died. Sold it about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What street is that place on? That's right. Is it on 3rd?
It's on Main Street.
Main Street.
Actually, Main Street runs this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 4th Street, but they call it Main, and then you go from 3rd to Main to 5th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you remember being in that house?
Oh, yes.
What it was like?
Oh, yeah.
Can you explain what you might have seen if you've gone into that big house?
Well, I just remember that when we first moved there, one thing that I remember, it was the well was just a dug well. It was dug with a post hole digger. It's about 20 some feet deep.
Hmm.
Water was a big thing at that time. We just had very little water. But as I remember, it was a good life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just living as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so were you born in Imbler or out?
I was born in LeGrand.
You were born in LeGrand, the hospital?
Mm-hmm. And when, for about a year, I lived in Idaho where my dad lived up there before they were married.
Uh-huh.
I went to school first grade in Balach, Idaho. Girls' school.
So what?
Then we moved back here, and I've been in Ember ever since. And I was right here in Ember till I was about 23 years old.
What did your parents do here in Ember?
My mother was just a housewife, and she worked some at the St. Joseph Hospital. And later at the school district, she worked as secretary of the school district. Years she worked up there. My dad was a mechanic, and in the tough times, he mechanicked every place. Performers, he mechanicked in this garage down here that owned L.J. Martin. It was a Ford garage. They sold Ford cars in Ember. I don't know how many years he worked there, but...
So when you say he was a mechanic, what exactly would he do?
He worked on engines, tractors, combines, whatever it took to make them run. Then later in years, he worked at the roundhouse for the railroad. Pacific. And after that, he worked at the school district again.
What do you mean he worked at the roundhouse?
He was a mechanic up there. He was a machinist up there.
Uh-huh. Was that dangerous work, difficult work? Because
I don't think it was dangerous work.
Mm-hmm.
So, all the years that he worked there, he worked at night. He kind of liked that in a way because he could do his work here at home in the daytime.
So what work would he be doing at home?
He raised a few cows and a few pigs and chickens. Things for the family to eat.
Mm-hmm. What was your father's full name?
Andrew Mabel.
And how did he come from Switzerland to come here?
On boat.
Huh.
His father and I think two of his uncles and maybe his sister come here early and found a place to where they were gonna maybe live. Several years later, then my grandmother come and brought the rest of the kids. It was 13 kids in the family. She come brought the rest of those kids by herself on the boat. That's another story.
How did they come to come to Imbler and to Al? I mean, they were here in Imbler, not
Al. They come into New York, and then they come by train.
Why did they pick this particular part of the world to settle?
Well, my grandfather was kind of he was a carpenter and kind of a watchmaker too, but that was over. So the watchmaking was in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
But they were in that. So there was a lot of logging, lots of for potlatch forks. They didn't stay there. They didn't come there right away. They went to a lot of logging places in Canada first, a short time. Then they come to potlatch and then they homesteaded there.
Mm-hmm. And
then my grandfather died in an accident. I don't know. It was about 6 or 7 years after they got the place. They built their own home. The home was a three-story home because they had so many kids.
Mm-hmm.
Three stories on top, basement.
So this was a good place because they could work with the loggers and
then the reason that my dad and mother moved to here because mother wanted to come back to where she lived.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And the work was dad was able to get work here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this in the 30s?
This was in the 30s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So things were tough all over. So were you a logger for a while?
I went.
Was your father a logger before you?
No. He was just always a mechanic.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into logging?
Well, I quit the farming and I went to work in a sawmill.
Which one?
Because you had a sawmill in Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
Small mill, but money was about three times, the wages was about three times what I was getting working on the farm.
What farm did you work on?
The Ruckman farm. This was a cut was a distant cousin of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on the farm in the seed plant.
Oh,
he had two seed plants, and I worked in those seed plants. In fact, I run one of them.
What did you do in the seed plant when you first started working there?
Well, mainly take in seed. That's what mainly it was. It's all sack stuff, so it was a lot of handwork.
Mm-hmm. When did you start working in the seed plant? How old were you?
Oh, I was 18.
Mm-hmm. Got through school and then
worked
there.
I didn't go to school. I took my last year and a half. I just go to school and get the papers and come home and because I worked.
Uh-huh.
I worked when I was last part of junior and pretty near all my senior year.
Well, can I go back to when you met in the Imbler school? When did you first meet each other?
Well, he was a senior and I was a freshman and I signed, well, I'd say here, ball games.
Uh-huh.
So, well, he didn't come to school very often.
How'd you end up getting together?
Well, he's a good friend of my first husband. I don't know, that's the way we got together, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, can you give me some description of what Imbler School was like when you were going there? What the experience of going to Imbler School?
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we had history. We saw a few other things, but we went to school to get an education.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Ha ha ha. So you both, how old were you when you started school then?
Oh, I was a freshman.
So where had you gone to school before that?
Somerville.
No, so you were in Somerville, and then you went to the... Oh, when you were in high school, you moved in. Went to school in Blair, is that right?
Went to grade school in Somerville for 8 years, 7 years, and then come out here and went to school. High school for 4 years.
Can you describe the Somerville school for kids? So if some kids were reading your biography, they want to know what the school was like and what your experience of school was in Somerville.
Well, it was just a big two-room building. House was out in front of us. We had to go if we wanted to drink. We had to go out and pump our own water. And they had big wood stoves. Really hasn't made. Now these kids would be deprived if they had to move to such a place.
So you had two teachers? Just one in the school. So how did they divide the children up?
One teacher taught us all, and then they used the other room for have fun in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they just mixed up the grades? How did you learn?
Our teachers taught 1 through 8. Now, Mrs. Sherman, you know, her one of the teachers out there, that's probably one of her first places she taught. You know, Lena?
No, I don't. So when you came in the morning, did you bring your own lunch, that kind of thing?
Just lived a block from the schoolhouse, so no, I went home for lunch.
And so all the kids were in one room together. Did you end up teaching each other, like the younger teach the older?
Yeah.
Or how'd that work?
Yeah, I think the teacher would take the problem of the children that needed more attention than some of the rest of us taught. Teach them. We set their limits to them.
What kinds of games did you play?
Tag and stuff like that. in a room that by the time we got through recess, it was so foggy. I suppose it was asbestos that was in there. I never thought anything about it.
Was there a bell on your school? School bell ring?
Yeah, that bell. Where is that picture of the Somerville school? But they said it was Dry Creek School, but it was, I suppose I couldn't see it.
Do you remember your favorite subject?
Recess.
And so you went to grade school where?
Except that first year.
Can you describe what your school was like?
Not really. I just...
Was it a 1 or 2 room school?
No.
Oh, it was a bigger one.
It's just like this now.
Okay.
They call it the big red school, the red part. That's all it was there. Yeah.
Do you remember having a favorite subject or favorite teacher?
Well, I liked math, and I took a lot of math also in school. I took any kind of mechanic work that I could take. We did have that in high school. I think the 2 years that I was there most of the time. I didn't particularly like school, but I knew I had to take it. I had to go there, so...
So can we go back to the logging again? Because I think that would be really interesting for people to know about how logging might have differed at the time you were doing than it is now.
Well, I really did. I was in logging. I didn't do much logging myself. I was in every part of it as we went along. But I actually was a mechanic, a maintenance man. after the sawmill, I did go into the logging part of it. Mm-hmm. And run cats and skidded logs, drove truck, hauled logs, and eventually I went to work for Boise Cascade. I worked for them a short time, and then they sold out that part of it.
Now, what does it mean skidding logs? What is that?
After they fall the logs, they have to skid them into an area where they can load them on a truck.
And how do they do that?
They drag them with a tractor.
Oh, okay. That, I don't know.
They drag them with a tractor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have
the tractor.
Then they have loaders that picks them up and loads them. I did for a short time work in a place where they didn't have self-propelled loaders. They loaded them the old way, like you probably could see them back in years ago, but that was just a short time. They pulled them up with a cable with another tractor, loaded them on the trucks. I was glad to get out of that part.
Why is that?
But dangerous. Very dangerous. Mm-hmm.
So was Boise Cascade a fairly young company when you started working with them?
They were a young company here, yes.
You worked for Western Stud to start out, I think.
There was probably in a period of 4 or 5 years, I worked for several companies. Because they weren't lasting, they were selling out. They were logging and then selling out, changing hands.
Why was that?
I don't know why. And I eventually went to work for a logger that logged for Boise Cascade. So again, I was back with Boise Cascade, but logger, working for another man.
I worked
for Doherty Logging, and he was very well known.
Doherty Logging. Where were they housed?
They were from Grand.
Uh-huh. And did most of the time you do the machinist work?
Yeah, I did mechanic work for them. That was what I said. But I did a lot of other work.
When you did mechanic work in logging, what kinds of things would you do?
I don't know. Haul the motors. If something broke down, I did a lot of welding.
How was welding? Welding's probably different now, but I mean, what equipment would you have to?
Well, we had portable welders because most of our work was out of the shop, so a lot of portable. It was arc welding.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made logging equipment because we didn't like what was made. We made our own.
What kind of things would you make?
Well, we just modified. Skidders and things. And we made our own grapples to lift the logs, to load them on the truck.
What was the problem that made them, the original ones not work?
Well, they were designed for logs in more or less up in a big logging company. Had huge logs, and our logs here in this country wasn't that big. So it was. We just modified everything. Just a lot of the stuff.
So would you come in on a special job to fix something, or would you just be available whenever anything needed fixing? Or was there always things that needed fixing?
There was always things that needed fixing, but usually at that time, by that time we had radios. They'd call into the shop if we was working at the shop.
So the shop was in LaGrange?
More times we were out of the shop and they would call us back to the shop.
So the shop was in LaGrange?
Yes.
Okay. And would several companies have that shop, or was that just the Boise Cascade shop?
That was Doherty's shop.
Oh, Doherty's shop. Uh-huh. Where was the shop located in LaGrange?
It's where... Bank's on Cove Avenue. Mm-hmm. See, it was the old Harrison building where they sold logging trailers at one time. Then I worked for Doherty for, I think, 9 years. And then I went to work for Demon D Logging, which was very same, just almost identical to the job I had before.
And where were they located in the Grand as well?
They were located along the freeway on May Lane.
So how many logging companies were in LeGrand, in and around LeGrand? Lots of them?
That was probably 10 or 15 at that time.
Wow.
Yes.
Were they real competitive?
Yes. Yes, they were.
So did people get along with each other who did logging in different areas? I mean, what?
Pretty good. They got
okay. I have another question I have about you being a machinist because I think. Machinist now probably do different things. What was your favorite part of the job? What kinds of things did you really enjoy doing when you were working with the logging as a machinist?
I enjoyed the welding part of it, I think, the most. Because we could manufacture, use our own mind to build things. I guess the part that I didn't like the most is being away from home so much, because our logging jobs were probably an average of 60, 70 miles away every day. So you left home in the morning and it was late at night before you got home. That was probably the worst part of it.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for you? So you were working also, and
yeah, I worked at a telephone company. I went out here.
Which telephone company?
One in LeGrand.
Oh, okay.
We lived in LeGrand for about 20 minutes, and then we lived in LeGrand for 37 years.
Where were you in LeGrand?
Where'd
you live? On Walnut?
Yeah, on Seawalk.
Oh.
Our son had the house that we used to have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I raised three kids by myself.
Because you were away so much, right? And you also were working. When did you start working for the telephone company?
Right after I got home.
So was that in the 40s? 48? Describe what it was like to work for the telephone company. What was your average day if you went in?
I enjoyed working at work. Don't know.
What did you do?
Answer calls. When I first started working for well, the numbers in the grant had alphabet action. Like 5 to 9, you know.
Oh.
Generally, everybody was on 4, 5, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Plug them in and stop. That's the right thing to get the call to go through.
Was it a switchboard? Or what did that look like? Would you describe it for me?
It's just a great big tall thing with a bunch of holes in it that you plugged into.
So okay. If a call came, what would exactly would you do?
So that sounds like press T-back.
So the call came in, and then they wanted you to put them through to someone else? Is that what it was, or how did it work?
Well, they'd call in, and we would connect them to whatever they wanted. They had to
an operator.
Oh,
not
I see.
Like now, you can dial. You had to have an operator connection to whatever.
So then they called, and then you had to get them in touch with the operator, and then they...
Call into the operator, and then we connect them on through. So we had no rural board that went up towards Perry. Every time a lightning hit. The lightning would come on the rural board and just almost knock you off.
Oh, no. So what's a rural board?
Well, it was just the lines up towards Perry. That way were rural lines. There was just one operator that answered the rural board. The rest of them was local or Long Vista.
Oh, really? So one operator every time would work just this one board? Or?
That was the rural board. Or there was, four or five local. And it'd be across the river, be two or three, four or five long distance one.
Oh.
If you wanted a long distance call, you had to go through an operator, and she had to go through about 10 operators to get you where you were going, and almost get there, and they'd say MX proceeds, and they'd take the line away from you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We got to be terrible liars. We'd always kind of, they go by time, and we got so we advanced our time so that we were earlier than they were. But I worked with some wonderful people up there.
Were they all women?
Yeah, until the last, just before we went on business, we had an operator too.
What was the name of the telephone company?
General.
The General Telephone. And where was that located in McGrath?
Now, well across the Foley Annex. Where the Foley Hotel used to be. That, when I first worked for them, we were upstairs over the... Well, I was in there now, but it's different box for the ice cream parlor and stuff. And we just knew the building. And then we got, boys, operators. And we had one, Jim Herman,
Jim Herman?
Operators have a good time. We had a lot of cranky customers too. But most of them were nice.
Why would they get it cranky? What was usually the problem to make them cranky?
They just got up on the wrong side of the bed, I think.
So the layout of where you were working was a bank of different places for different kinds of calls. Is that right?
So that was cool. Old office, and we've got the new office. Everything was more automated. Yeah. Had a board that she just put them up and ran through, and long distance, of course, she dialed. Most of the long distance calls were not on. I don't know. Dial herself. Hi.
So on a typical day, would you get up early and get the kids to school and go to work? Is that your... Make dinner?
Yeah. I was laughing with my grandson. He was down here today. He tried to tell his wife that he used to come visit with Grandma. Come to LeGrand. He lived in Baker. And he'd be there maybe 2 weeks. Granddad be in bed by the time his granddad got home. His granddad would be gone by the time he got up. But Grandma takes time to raise him. He's got time for his great grandchildren.
Yeah, there you go. Where did you go shopping when you bought food after you'd worked at the market when you lived in Imbler? What stores were around when you were living in Imbler?
Oh, I got lots of shopping at Safeway places as well. Mm-hmm. The one I missed the most, I think, is the one that went out of business.
Was that the Hub?
Next to Walmart.
Oh, Shopping Cart?
Shopping Cart.
Yeah.
I really missed that place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I never did do too much business. When did you get home?
Yesterday.
Did he have his operation?
No. I fell up on it.
I want to ask about the Boise Cascade families. That obviously the men were gone, right? A lot. Did the women get together and do social activities so that for the men while they were gone?
It's been a long time since it was.
What kinds of things did you do to keep your spirits up when your men were gone?
We had makeup parties and we had sewing parties and we had very, very gay. My son was just reminding me of that yesterday. Somebody was at my house and he said it must have been a party, and I said, yeah, it must have been. Jerry, what is her last name? Molly. And Elgin, she used to work at the telephone company. Of course, I used to go crazy. But now our kids are working.
So, would you say that, were the women that worked at the telephone company, did you do social things with them also? What kinds of things would you guys?
Yeah, parties. Mm-hmm. Feasts. Mm-hmm. We had one on Bigger Up there that was always bringing us something. Margaret Allen. One of the people that learned to make homemade chocolates.
Oh.
It's very much, we really appreciated her.
Uh-huh.
Once a week she treated us.
So, going back to Boise Cascade and then going to Doherty, so how do you think that the lumber industry changed as you got toward the end of your time working as a machinist? How did you see the lumber industry changing in LeGrand and in Union County while you were there?
I don't really know how the lumber part of it changed so much. Part of the work that I did seemed to change a lot because the machinery kept changing. And I don't know. I really don't know how the logging part of it changed. Mm-hmm. That was mostly done in the offices for Boise Cascade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kinds of new equipment did you do with?
Well, we went from caterpillars to rubber tired skidders and many more modern machines. It was just different. You could do so much more. You could do so much more in one day than you did when I first started in the logging part. Can't say that I know too much about how the logging part changed, mm-hmm. just how the taking care of the machinery
mm-hmm.
changed.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I worked for Doherty, I worked for D. McGee,
mm-hmm.
and he was with Boise Cascade too. And I worked for DVD for 17 years. I walked with him for about 6 years, and then he bought a rock. Actually, he bought a rock crusher while I was while he was logging. Actually, he had two companies, rock crushing and logging both. And I kind of worked in between the two of them, mostly with the rock crusher.
Where was the rock crusher?
It was portable, just all over Oregon, Washington.
So you went out and with the rock crusher to wherever?
Yes, I.
And what were you crushing the rocks for?
Mostly for state jobs, some county jobs. Mm-hmm. Crushing for rope rock. Then he was also in the road building, so that was another company. So those two, all three of those companies that he owned, kind of tied together. Kept me pretty busy.
So were you gone from home quite a bit then?
Yeah, we had a trader house and it just went to work. Tried to get home on the weekends.
So can you describe what you would do with, what the machine, how you would work with the machine to do the rock crushing?
It was mostly just maintenance, welding, lots of building things, just like I did in the logging, because he didn't like the way that it was built. We modified it to make it work.
So what was the machine like that crushed the rocks? What did it look like? Describe it.
How to describe rock crusher. It's quite an operation. First we'd drill the rock and then blast it. And they loaded it to the jaw crusher. There's a jaw crusher. That reduces the size of the rock from about 12 inches down to about 3 or 4 inches. Then it goes from the jaw crusher to a roll crusher. And that reduces the size again from 3 inches down to as small as a quarter inch. Then there's other machines that also make it finer or make the size all uniform. Screening, lots of screening to get to different sizes. Sort it out.
So did you operate the machine as well as
maintenance? Yeah, I run the machine for him besides the maintenance. One shift. We run it 20 hours a day and I run one shift. It takes about eight, nine men to operate the rock crusher.
Wow. So it's a huge piece of machinery.
Yeah. Huh.
And so anytime anything went wrong, you were with that?
I was there.
Well, Mary just said that it was very loud. Did you have anything in your ears while you were operating?
Should have had?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of them wore things. It irritated me. The dust would get in where the plugs were in your ears, and it irritated my ears till I couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. Now they have different kind of things that they put over their head. Mm-hmm. Have that then. Mm-hmm.
So where did you travel with that rock crusher?
All over Oregon, out in southern Oregon, some in Idaho, some in Washington.
How did you deal with the dust? Was it in your eyes and in your nose? And
Well, you wear goggles sometimes.
Sometimes. Why did it take 9 people to operate?
Well, it's one man operates the machine that loads, that puts the rock into the crusher. And then there's one that watch the sequester. That's one. And there's one that takes the wrong way. And there's a truck driver, sometimes two truck drivers, especially if they're loading in a truck. It just takes a lot. There's a cleanup man, sometimes two cleanup men. Rocks that come off. And there's one that takes care of the water. A lot of places we had to have water. So we had to have a truck driver that hauled water to the truck.
Why would you need the water?
To keep the dust down. So that's just quite an operation. Then they had one man that tested the rock. All the rock had to be tested. To make sure it was spec for the state jobs.
How did you transport the rock crusher?
By truck.
Like a flatbed truck?
They were units. Some of his own flatbed, but each unit had its own trailer.
It took about seven
truckloads.
Just to transport it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, seven great truckloads to transport. We tried on a move that was maybe only 50 miles away. We tried to tear the crusher down one day, move it, set it up the next day. We run. Days.
That's what physical work.
Very physical.
You said it was pretty loud, Mary, huh?
Oh, boy.
Did you ever go visit when it was operating?
You don't visit around the rock crusher.
It's all hand signals.
So how did he decide who got to go do the logging and who got to do the rock crushing and who got to do what other job was it?
Road building.
Road building. How did he decide who got to do what?
On all three jobs.
Yeah.
I was always the top man. Mm-hmm. All the time. From the time I went to work for him.
So you kind of went where he really needed you most?
Yeah. Wherever I was called to go.
So did you end your career doing that, or did you go
no.
back? Now what'd you do?
Then he sold out. Went to work for Weaver Construction, which he was a bridge builder. He's still in business. In fact, he's working on the Mount City highway there now. I think I worked for Jim for 9 years.
Don't look at me.
Nine years.
Uh-huh.
And then I retired.
Uh-huh. What did you do on the bridge building?
Same thing. Mechanic work, welding, lots of work. And again, I had cranes to work on, tractors, and loaders, and caterpillars.
Something was always needed.
Something was always needed. After I went to work for Jim, though, we took a lot of work to the other caterpillar places and other places, truck shops, because it was just more than I could handle.
Was that a
besides,
job where you...
Besides, it was a... We learned it was cheaper to do it than...
Was that a job that you could come home and do?
No, it went on to be about the same kind of job. Way from home, huh?
Uh-huh.
A lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so he's still in business now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go and check out and see if they're doing it right?
No, I really don't. I go visit with him sometimes. I don't say much to him.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that either one of you'd like to talk about living in Imbler at all?
I found out the wind blows out here.
I was just going to say that.
More than LeGrand, do you think?
Yeah, well, we lived in LeGrand up at the hill, there on all the hill. So, well, the wind came down. It was off in the evening time, but we didn't have wind like we have out here.
Mm-hmm. We bought this place in 1974. And we didn't do anything with this 5 acres until after I retired. But growing up, I didn't ever remember the wind blowing here, but the reason we never noticed it is because this was all orchards in this country. This whole area, this was all in orchards. That's why this whole place out here, all orchards. So
what kind of orchards?
Mostly apple orchards. There was some cherry orchards, mostly apple.
So have you noticed a big difference in Somerville and Imbler over the years, or has it stayed pretty much the same?
Everybody and your dog. Now I don't know anybody in Somerville or Imbler.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't be around like they used to, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you think neighbors maybe just aren't as close as they were?
No, the